A listener just WhatsApped in and said, yes, it's a rip-off, but we Irish always just pay whatever they ask. Now is the time to change and don't pay these rip-off prices that hotels, etc. are charging. I know people want to break, but if we just keep on paying, they'll keep charging it. Are we ever going to stand up for ourselves? If people pay these prices, it's their own business and they shouldn't complain about it then. All right, let's just give you an idea. And by the way, hello to Ken and Pat Nagel of the famous Doolin campsite there as well. Pat, of course, is from Clane. And I, whenever I'm around, my favourite one of my favourite places in Ireland, probably my most favourite place in Ireland, is Doolin. But just to show you lads the way prices are going in regards to that now. Quotations for, I see online, for a couple of prices around the Doolin area, right? Two nights. Remember what I'm talking about now. Two nights for two people, and they'll throw in breakfast, €448. And the second one, in a B&B, two nights, it includes breakfast, very kindly as well, in what's called the Superior King Room, €456. That's the kind of money you could go to Spain and Tenerife for once upon a time, and get 2 weeks for. And now, I know that there are other prices that maybe wouldn't match that, but this is a reflection of what people are telling us around the country. So is the hospitality sector, because demand is outstripping supply, basically putting prices at whatever the market will bear? And as our listener said, are Irish people gone to a point where we're so desperate for the staycation, we'll pay anything? 448 and €456 for two nights for two people in a B&B. That's €220 per person. And there's no dinners involved in that, by the way. Just breakfast. So, I'm sure many other people will have had the experience of trying to book a place. And that's the fallout from the pandemic. That the, I'd say every place is practically booked out now. And you have no choice but to accept the prices. And that, I suppose, in the economy is what they call supply and demand. If you have any other experiences of high prices in relation to that, let us know, will you please, in regards to that. Now, we featured on the programme yesterday an email that we had from a listener alleging serious disruption issues and antisocial behaviour involving fights, drug dealing, drug use, etc., etc., going on in a 25-unit development called Powers Court in Newbridge. Now, we need to point out that the listener was alleging that this was in regards to one particular area in, or one particular residence in the area, but that the rest of the residents were being impacted by it. We asked Kildare County Council for a statement on the matter. Kildare County Council responded to us, and I'm just summarising it. Basically, they don't comment on individual cases. If anybody has problems, they can complain to the council, because the council has at least two units in this residential area. Our listener said they have complained three times and got nowhere in saying their complaints were dismissed or hadn't got a reply. And also the council statement said that people should report criminality to the Gardaí. Our listener told us that they have reported and that the Gardaí have been very good in responding to fights, sometimes half two in the morning, and also in terms of monitoring the complex. We asked about engagement with public representatives, and we understood from our listener that the listeners had engaged with Senator Fiona Loughlin. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Clem, and to all your listeners.
And good morning, Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin TD. Good morning to you, Patricia.
Morning, Ken. How are you?
All right. Patricia, you emailed us yesterday and you said, in fact, that you've had experience of this, not just pertaining to Newbridge in regards to what you were told at joint policing committee meetings, but also, Fiona O'Loughlin, you said that at a joint policing committee meeting, in your statement yesterday, Fiona, thanks for coming on today, that you had been told this is an issue for municipal district meetings and therefore not for the joint policing committee meeting.
That's correct. When we were asked, all public representatives are on the JPC as well as members of the Gardaí and members of the community. And when we were asked our suggestions for the agenda for the last JPC, which was last Monday week, I did put antisocial behaviour in this particular part of Newbridge. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that antisocial behaviour doesn't happen anywhere else, but I felt that it was particularly along Air Street, along Market Square, etc. And I was told that and obviously I can't go to an MD meeting, I'm not a member, but that this was more appropriate for an engagement with the Gardaí at MD meeting and to go speak through my local councillor. Now,
just hold on a second, answer, Fiona. Just hold on a second, Fiona. You're bringing up a matter of potential criminality.
Exactly.
And antisocial behaviour. And this and the other. You're at a joint policing committee meeting. And you're told that is not for the subject of that meeting.
I was told that prior to the meeting that it would not appear on the agenda, but I did...
Why not? Anyway. But I mean, what are you meeting for?
That is exactly my point. But I attended the meeting and I brought it up anyway, and I did say I had wanted to have this on the agenda as a specific item. I wasn't allowed to do that, but I was bringing it up anyway. So basically, I was told at the meeting that that the level of complaints had gone down in relation to that particular area. Now, I've spoken to individual Gardaí myself, and have done again actually this morning in relation to this particular instance. And I have to say, I have rung the Gardaí myself because I have witnessed antisocial behaviour in the area, and the Gardaí have been really, really good in terms of responding, and responding very quickly. And again, I spoke to the resident last night who had contacted you, and my apologies because I didn't get to hear the programme yesterday, and she absolutely verified that they have been very, very proactive.
Oh yeah, the resident told me that the Gardaí have been very, very good in their responses. But let's get to a core issue here, and Patricia, I'll come to you in a moment. Kildare County Council, if they put people into social housing, are they not responsible and accountable if there are issues arising?
That is completely my view. There has to be a balance of rights here, and people have the absolute right to live in peace in their own space. And the account of behaviour that I received and you received from this resident was absolutely shocking. No one should have to live like that. There are young families, there are children, people being intimidated, and Kildare County Council have absolutely a huge responsibility to ensure that their tenants, who they are responsible for, do not impact on other people.
Let me remind listeners again of who mightn't have tuned in yesterday to this, that amongst the allegations by the listener of Powers Court that refuse and rubbish bags were being left out all over the place, non-residents were letting themselves into a locked area and forcing the gate at times, often visibly under the influence of alcohol and other substances, that there was active drug dealing going on by some individuals. A child of one of the residents had ended up picking up silver foil, which they alleged contained heroin residue. There are coming and goings from the communal area by non-residents all hours of the morning, and a very serious fight at 2:15 or at 8 p.m. when residents had to call Gardaí, in which bottles were broken and used as weapons, etc., etc. Now, nobody should have to live in this particular environment. And it seems to me and many other people that often that the rights of the majority take second place to a very, very small minority.
I completely agree with what you say, Clem. I think Kildare County Council needs to be far more stringent in terms of the tenants, and the TLOs, the tenant liaison officers, need to be far stronger, because I also have witnessed situations, and not just here, in other areas, where investigations have been carried out and basically the response has come back to residents that there isn't any merit, shall we say, to the complaints that they make, when there is absolutely no doubt that they are being impacted, be it with a level of noise, be it in terms of antisocial behaviour, be it in relation to, as you were talking about, fights breaking out. And the fact also that there is a tenancy agreement between a Kildare County Council tenant and the council themselves, even in terms of who should be living in a home. And in that particular situation in Powers Court, there were a number of people who were not on the residency list living in a one-bedroom apartment.
All right.
And people, as you say, coming in, using the keypad, and also forcing in. That is not on, and absolutely should not be allowed.
Okay, right.
I don't believe action has taken place yesterday in relation to that.
Right. I understand as well, and we'll come back to that in a minute, and you've mentioned the area of Eyre Street and Market Street as well, and I want to come back because I think there's a wider problem in this area that's been reported. I know that Councillors Rob Power and Noel Heavey have also been contacted by our resident. Patricia Ryan, you emailed us yesterday and said you had been told something similar to what Fiona was told at a recent joint policing issue that you were at, that this wasn't the place to bring it up, it should be brought up at a municipal district meeting.
That's correct. It was actually the same meeting then. And,
was it, right?
Yeah, and I suppose, to be fair, we were listening and looking around crime statistics, and I was glad to see there was a reduction in many of the categories. That said, the people in Powers Court, Newbridge, have not contacted me, so I actually can't comment on their situation, but I can certainly comment on the antisocial behaviour around the Atai and Kilmeag area, and we have had a discussion, as you're aware, around this before. Also, I'm sure you're aware, my councillor colleague Noel Connolly had brought up antisocial behaviour in Rathangan playground, and he had asked for to have the parquet removed or a fence erected around it because there was issues there. But similar to what Senator O'Loughlin said, yes, we were told it could only be brought up at the municipal district, and that's fine for me in Kildare and Newbridge, but what am I supposed to do in other areas where I don't have a party colleague?
Well, we know now, just to reiterate again, we heard from Inspector Jim Malloy this morning about the drug seizure in Newbridge yesterday afternoon, where an individual aged 25 appeared in court at 10:30 this morning. The Gardaí confiscated an estimated street value of €214,000 cannabis resin, cannabis herb with a street value of €214,000, and €60,000 worth of cocaine, all subject to analysis. A trailer, a caravan and power tools were also seized. A man was due before the court, actually is due before the court in the next 5 minutes. And we heard live from Inspector Jim Malloy that this morning. And we made the point, Patricia Ryan, that drugs and the antisocial behaviour arising from the misuse and dealing of drugs is permeating every community in the county.
I'm sure it is, and unfortunately I didn't hear that. I've come out of a committee meeting to do your interview, so I missed earlier on, and apologies around that. But the committee meeting has to be done as well. I'm on a budgetary oversight. But my point is, like, here, if we go and we are in these JPC meetings, we should be able to get the answers. And yes, Senator O'Loughlin is also writing saying the council have a responsibility, and I have contacted the council in relation to antisocial behaviour, and I continue to engage with them. That said, there are terms of tenancy when you get a house, and I firmly believe they should be put into practice.
All right, and implemented. Okay, Fiona, you mentioned about a possible development that you've been advised about in regards to the Powers Court. What is that? Can you tell us?
I understand, and I've been trying to verify this this morning, so I'm...
I'll tell you what. Don't then, until we get verification of it. If I put it this way, we understand that there might be a positive development in regards to the particular source or whatever else or causes of what has gone on in Powers Court for quite a number of months now.
And I really, really hope so, because, as I said earlier, people having to live their lives in this type of intimidating way. And when we think about COVID and, when we think about being confined to your own unit, if you're in a unit in a very small geographical size complex, and you're subject to this type of behaviour on an ongoing basis.
Look, we have covered this in various estates around the county. Patricia Ryan has mentioned other areas she's concerned about. There are very few estates around the county where people aren't afflicted by a couple of a minority of one or two people or families causing mayhem for everyone in the community. And certainly I'd be of a view that the laws need to be tightened up and the applications. It's giving an awful bad name to social housing. And it is one of the reasons that people do not want social housing in their communities.
And it's also in private estate and in private...
Well, that's what I mean.
Well.
That where social housing is now being purchased by councils in private estates. But I want to point out, I grew up in a council estate. And 99.99% of the people are salt of the earth. And we shouldn't tar the whole area. But
I completely agree, Clem. Antisocial behaviour is the biggest scourge that
All right,
has.
Okay.
And it really impacts on people's well-being.
Yeah. Patricia, final word from you then?
Yeah, I just want to say, in most cases, there's probably one or two bad eggs and they need to be dealt with. But I will say this, and I'll finish up by saying this. I'm having a meeting with our area rep in Atiger Kelly on Friday to discuss some of the issues there. And after that, I will be raising issues with Chief Superintendent Scanlon, who I have had a number of conversations with over in the last year, and he's very approachable and he's very practical. So I'm hoping at the next JPC meeting, when we ask a question, we can actually get an answer.
Okay.
And I'd also say, Noel, that in terms of applying antisocial behavioural orders, which are not used to the same extent as they should be.
Yeah, the ASBOs.
I've had a number in Kildare. Yeah, I believe that there should be a greater use of these. Because
All right.
One of the areas is it also covers behaviour of young people over 12, and that's important. Clem, just a final word, just to say well done to the community of Monastrevin, the amalgamation of St.
Of the school, yeah. We carried it in news. We're carrying that story in news, Fiona.
Great,
it is good news.
Delighted to work on that.
Right. Fiona, in 20 seconds... a listener asks, remember 10 families that were evicted from John Street in Newbridge. What's that about?
I remember you actually asking me about that before, Cam, or maybe it was Owen. Nobody had ever contacted me at all.
All right, okay. We'll leave it there because I'm really pressed for time. I want to go to the ASRI next. But Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South, a 20-second question for you, Patricia Ryan, before you go. Why did you walk out of the Dáil last night and a vote on the Offences Against the State Bill?
First of all, I didn't walk out at all. I'm on record of being in the Dáil chamber. Secondly, Clem, we are consistent with our policy. We have made it clear during the Dáil and Shannon debates we would not oppose the motion and that we would abstain. That's what we did.
But with respect, Patricia, did all the Sinn Féin representatives leave the Dáil last night?
No.
No?
No.
Well, why are we getting reports that Sinn Féin...
Well, the West Nall have gone and the there did abstain.
How many stayed in?
Well, there was 8 there, to my knowledge.
8? And how many representatives have you?
There was 30 in the chamber yesterday, and there was 8 there. But let me just...
I just want to make a point. What's Sinn Féin's problem with the Offences Against the State Bill? It's passed to deal with terrorists.
Hold on now, Clem. Be fair here. We want to see a review. You have people like Amnesty International and many other human rights that are asking for this review. That's what we want to see. We said we would be consistent. We need to see the review. You do understand that this bill is 49 years old.
I don't care if it was 110 years old. It's reflecting it's dealing with a particular problem. I'm just asking you, Patricia, what is Sinn Féin's problem with the Offences Against the State Bill?
We need to see proper things in place. We need a review. We need it reviewed because we have had COVID this year. We have seen the use of technology. There are video calls available now. There are glass screens there. There are screens to protect people. We need a proper review and it needs to be done. And that's what we're waiting on. And we have been consistently asking for that review.
And you're stating then that Sinn Féin representatives did not walk out of the Dáil or leave the Dáil chamber last night ahead of a vote.
I was in there and my vote is on record and there were others with me.
All right,
and
okay.
If you want to discuss that with the others, you will have to do that.
No, I'm discussing it with you as a party representative. I didn't say about discussing anything else. I'm just asking, Patricia. Don't get too touchy about it. I'm just asking to clarify reports. All right, Patricia, thanks.
Thank you, have a nice day.
And you too. Sinn Féin TD, Patricia Ryan and Senator Fiona Loughlin, Fianna Fáil, on that range of issues.
Register or to find out more about your COVID-19 vaccine, go to hsc.ie from the HSE.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Could we be, we were talking about those exorbitant prices to book a staycation there earlier in the programme, just giving you a list of some of those very high prices, 450 plus for two nights B&B with just breakfast. But the ESRI, in a report just published this morning, says the Irish economy is expected to record a substantial growth in 2021 as public health measures are lifted. Let's find out how substantial, and are we in for a spending boom? Because amongst the one of the authors of this report is Assistant Research Professor at the Economic, Social and Research Institute, Dr. Conor O'Toole. Dr. O'Toole, you're very, very welcome to the programme. Thanks for taking our call. How substantial a growth are we expecting?
Well, good morning, Clem. You know, we're expecting quite a rebound in economic activity this year. That's going to come from two main sources. One is a very strong performance of Irish exports. So these are the goods and services that Irish companies or Irish resident companies sell abroad. And in particular, there's two areas that are really driving that forward. One is pharmaceutical and medicinal products, and the second is computer services. So these will be multinational dominated sectors, and they really are performing very, very strongly, and that's leading to very high growth this year. The domestic economy, we expect that to also rebound quite strongly. Consumer spending fell by 9% last year, and we expect it to grow by 7.5% this year. Part of that, we expect, is a rebound from the public health restrictions that have been in place up to the first quarter of this year. And obviously, as public health restrictions have been unwound through the April, May and into the summer period, we expect households to re-engage with the economic activity and to expend some of the savings that they've built up. So,
and those savings, Conor, are I've heard figures of anything from 11 billion that people have been putting by during the past 16 to 18 months, and that people will launch a splurge on this. Of course, that could have quite an impact on inflation too, would it not?
So I guess there's a number of factors in relation to that. One of the features that we have documented quite substantially since the onset of the pandemic has been this increase in savings in Ireland. And Irish savings rates have actually been one of the highest in the European Union since the onset of the pandemic. And so Irish households have been putting away a considerable amount of funds. And in particular, what we see has happened is that the type of goods and services that they've been constrained from purchasing through the public health measures, they're the type of goods and services that they've stopped purchasing, and that the money they would have spent on those have built up in savings. So what we kind of expect as the public health restrictions are unwound is that the people will re-engage with those accommodation, food services, holidays, and that type of spending that they haven't been able to do over the period. And that is likely to have a spending boost as those savings are unwound. Now, naturally, that may cause some sort of transitory impact on prices, but certainly the mood music around the inflation levels as to why we may have a spike in the coming months, that the overall inflation outlook is likely to be more muted.
And how?
That's to be seen.
And what impact, Conor, would you expect that the estimated 24 billion, which you point out in the report, that it has cost the country so far in pandemic measures? What impact that might have in turn?
Well, so the research that's done as part of the report has looked at whether or not the economy, or to the extent to which the economy has been knocked off course by the pandemic, and by that we mean comparing to what would have been the outturn if the pandemic hadn't occurred, and that's where that particular figure has come from. And what the research is pointing out in the commentary is that given the really good performance of the export sector in particular, and the rebound we expect this year, the economy looks like it'll gain back that level of economic activity much earlier than we previously had thought, so by the end of 2022. So that's really where we see the rebound having occurring. Public spending has come in last year quite dramatically to take up the private sector spending pullback, but this year we see consumer spending kicking back in, as well as very, very strong export growth.
We've also had Brexit, and we expected massive disruption in regards to that. But an interesting aspect I notice in the report is that we did comparatively well with exports last year, as opposed to imports.
Yeah, so that's I think when you look at the difference between exports and imports, it really highlights the very different trade performance that Ireland has as an economy relative to other small open economies that you'd see around the globe. Ireland has a very concentrated export market. The medicinal and pharmaceutical products and the computer services really make up a huge share of Irish exports. And they're driven by global economic activity by a small number of multinational firms. Now, they do feed in naturally to our economic growth activity, and that's why we see such strong growth, because those two sectors which have been kind of buffered against the pandemic's effects, but given their composition, they're really what has pulled us through in terms of the export activity. In terms of Brexit, we have seen imports are impacts on trade with the UK in the first quarter of this year, but in a sense, there'll be what we expect with Brexit is quite sector specific effects, and then the overall export numbers are really driven forward by the multinational activity.
What about then the scenario in regards to the implications for employment and the trends there?
Yeah, so what we've documented in the report is that we see the unemployment rate coming down quite strongly towards the end of this year, and that's as the economy rebounds and employees are able to go back to work from the sectors that have been, particularly in the sectors that have been cut off as part of the public health restrictions. When those restrictions are unwound, we expect employment to recover quite strongly in those sectors, so coming down to about 9% at the end of this year, and then improving again next year to down to 7%. So we do see the labour market as kicking back in quite strongly towards the end of this year, and then improving again next year.
Now, as your report points out, investment is a key point in any economy, and while we expect approximately 18,000 housing completions this year, 21,000, says your report, in 2022. We have, for example, the Taoiseach recently saying we need 40,000 a year. What, if any, impact is the whole housing crisis situation having?
Well, certainly I think a key feature of the Irish housing market over the last number of years and certainly into this year has been an undersupply of housing. You know, obviously estimates of structural demand in and around 35,000 units per annum would be suggested as what we need, and certainly the completion levels we have now are below that. So certainly ramping up housing activity is an important component of the Irish economy. Research that my colleague Kieran McQuinn has published recently suggests that considerable government borrowing could be done to ramp up housing supply and to try and address some of those structural infrastructural deficits that we have in terms of the housing market. And I think that it will be a core component of trying to address the housing bottleneck over the coming years.
And then a final point, what are the caveats that you might issue in regards to this, the X factors that could impact negatively on us? Would the whole corporation tax debate come into play?
Well, I think the corporation tax debate is a long-term structural element. Obviously, we've seen a big increase in corporation tax receipts over the past number of years, and with the expected international tax changes, it's likely that Ireland will have a fall in corporation tax receipts going forward, and that has to be factored into any budgetary planning over time, and that is the indications are that is taking place. Obviously, one of the other big caveats to our forecast for this year is the reopening plan. For example, if there is some severe delay to the reopening over the summer period or into the end of this year due to changing variants or reduced efficacy of the vaccines, that would obviously hit the domestic economy and hit our forecasts, and that's something we'll have to keep watch on over the period. But you know, one of the features we've noticed over the past 12 months trying to predict the path of the Irish economy during the COVID period is that every time we think something is settling down and becoming stable, there's another shock and we revise our numbers. So I would expect that there will be revisions over time to the growth outlook.
All right, it's called Quarterly Economic Commentary Report Summer 2021. The authors are Kieran McQuinn, Ilias Kostarakis, Cathal Coffey, Wendy Dish, and our speaker at the moment, Associate Professor at the Economic and Social Research Institute, Dr. Conor O'Toole. Conor, thanks very much for that analysis. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll certainly watch all of that with interest. After the break, we're going to the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District and to the Atai MD also.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Siobhan Merriman in Strafan, I think you're teasing when you say, love your singing, Clem, you should do it more often. There's a lot of people there saying, don't encourage him, please. Ah, Clem, with that price you were quoting for bed and breakfast, you can bring home the Paul Costello bed linen you had on your bed instead of your dinner. It's disgraceful, says a listener. I don't have Paul Costello bed linen, you know. Don't have any sheets in the bed. Sure, just try and get in under the old blankets with holes in them. I think the council have got very relaxed about tenants' behaviour in a lot of areas. They give you the impression they don't want to know, says a listener. Morning, Clem. Did you get anything for singing? If so, give it back. I'm hurt now. I'm going to cry. The problem in Newbridge is rife all over the county, says Sean in a tie to that. And losing the head with Patricia Ryan, Clem. You don't do that with the COVID vaccine promoters. Oh, Lord Almighty. And I want to get into just one question or email that I got in regards earlier on. It made a remark about my singing. Well, I'll find it about it in a couple of minutes' time. Anyway, here it is, I think. It's a what does it say? It says, not all hotels are ripping off customers. I know. I didn't say all hotels were ripping off customers. What I said was prices are beginning to go out the window somewhat. Over to here's the message I want to get to. It said in this email, good morning, Clem and team. Wonderful singing of Spancel Hill. And you mentioned that today is Dermot Earley's anniversary, a mighty man. I think actually it was yesterday, was it not? Was Dermot Earley's anniversary. But what is impossible to believe is that Dermot Earley went to his eternal reward 11 years ago, either yesterday or today. May he rest in peace. What a great, great man. It was yesterday, in fact. Kira, over to you. Hello, Kira. Are you there? You there now, Kira? Why are we getting a problem with getting Kira in? Sorry, Kira. There you are now. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Clem. And it's good morning to Councillor Bernard Colwell of the Fianna Fáil, Selbridge, Leixlip Municipal District. Good morning, Bernard.
And we're having... Yeah, is Bernard there? Hello, Bernard.
Hello,
don't worry, Bernard. I'm not talking to me.
I'm not talking to you anymore, Bernard.
Look at you, Bernard. Look at you. Listen, we're going to...
Well, Claire, at least you ring me when you tell me you ring me. I was waiting. I'm waiting for you.
Very true, Bernard. I'm true to my word. Listen to me, we're going to start off with an update for the members on replacing the footpath on Main Street in Leixlip. What did the council have in response for you?
Look, I didn't get good news there, Kira. There's still no funds available, but look, we just have to keep at it. They filled in the areas that are in need of repair. I suppose the whole path needs to be repaired. But look, it will happen, but I don't know when.
Now, Bernard, when you say filled in the areas that need to repair, but the whole path needs to be repaired, just what were the areas fixed? What were they like? Were they in particular bad state?
From trucks driving in over them into various premises and cars kind of parking up in certain areas, it sinks. And then people with wheelchairs or, you know, bad on their feet were having problems. But the council have done kind of temporary work on those areas.
Okay.
So look, there's no funding. I was hoping the TBI, I think it is, would give us more money to get with the Selbridge. But look, there's no funding available at the moment, so look, just have to wait. But it will happen. I've no doubts about that.
Now, regarding derelict sites, Bernard, you did ask the council to confirm if any notice had been forwarded to the owners of them, of the sites on Main Street, Leixlip, and if not, why not? What was the response there?
Well, first of all, Clare County Council told me that there's no notice of anybody with derelict sites in Leixlip. But I think the people who sent me that need to come to Leixlip and have a look at the Main Street. There's three or four derelict sites on the Main Street, and they are derelict. They look dreadful, and the people who own them are prominent business people in the town, and they're good people. But unfortunately, they're taking the whole town down with them with these derelict sites. It wouldn't take an awful lot to clean them up, paint them, and have them presentable to the whole town.
How long have they been derelict, Bernard, on average?
Oh, God. I'd say 5-6 years at least, more probably. I'm not too sure. I tell you what, but they're in a bad state, and they need to be. Compared to the rest of the town, people keep their premises looking well. And these people have premises on the town, and they keep them looking very well. But the neglect is the ones that are vacant at the moment. And I know there's planning permission and they wanted to do it up, but nothing is to stop these people, who I don't think would be short of a few bob, to do them up. And I'm asking them, would they do it? And I just hope that they do. You know, I don't think this is going to go away. We need our town looking well.
Okay.
These are the people who want us to bring business into the town. So I think we have to play football here, you know.
Okay, well, dog fouling, a big issue over the past year and a half. Obviously, people out and about more. You asked the council to install hidden cameras in select areas of St. Catherine's Park.
Yeah, like that, the council kind of find it difficult to put in hidden cameras. They haven't got the resources to either fund them or to look after them or do whatever. They said they'd put extra signs. And you might have put an extra signs on the building because people ignore them. And Kieran, I have a suggestion here. And I know you're going to some people think this is wild, but a number of years ago in Kerry and Killarney, people suggested putting napkins on horses, and everybody thought it was a mad idea. But if you drive through Killarney now anyway, you'll see the nappies on the horses, and it works quite well. So what's to stop us from looking for people to come up with a plan to put nappies on dogs when they're going into places?
Well, I think there may be issues around dogs being able to wear something like that, Bernard. I don't know if there's particular things that would fit a dog at the moment.
Well, you know, a lot of people are wild ideas, but sometimes you have to kind of sit outside the box and say, I mean, people are fouling. Their dogs are destroying the park and destroying the streets, and it's continuous with it. We just don't seem to get to the bottom of it. I mean, there's people in there pushing buggies or wheelchairs, and
yes,
it's getting onto the wheels of their whatever they use.
Yes, understandable. And just to let listeners know that the council did say there's no budget or staff resources to provide and monitor these cameras, and it would also present issues with identifying the alleged offenders and issuing penalties.
Councillor, I'm not going to leave the council to say that, but I don't accept that.
Well, Councillor Bernard Caldwell of Fianna Fáil, the Selbridge Leix Lip Municipal District, thank you so much.
And thank you, Ciara. In a moment, we're going to the Tyne Municipal District. Just a couple of quick messages coming in regards to that. It says, Clem, you're great sport, singing, getting better. Thanks for the great programmes during COVID-19, says Liz in Strafford. Thanks, Liz, I appreciate the encouragement, but maybe you shouldn't encourage me too much, I could get carried away. And Clem, please stop singing, says Robbie Dunn in Robertstown. Just take your shoes off and let your feet hum. Actually, I might try that, Robbie, and just see how that might go in regards to that. We'll just take a very, very short break. Okay, and it's Councillor Aoife Breslin at the Tyne Municipal District. Good morning, Aoife.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us with a little bit of difficulty there getting your number.
Technical issues.
A little technical issue. But we're sorted now. You should pay your phone bills more often, you know, not be letting them get into arrears. Now, beginning with Motion 6, Ciara, you wanted the council...
I'm Aoife.
Or
you wish Kira and I were in that studio together, would you?
I know. You want the council to carry out works to improve the visibility lines at Geraldine Crossroads. Now, we had Brian Dooley, your councillor colleague, yesterday talking about visibility lines up at the new health centre. At Geraldine Crossroads, where just in the area of the two cemeteries there, what's the issue?
The issue is, as you know, it's beyond there, the golf club, as you're coming around the corner heading towards Boulia, there is a very bad crossroads there, and there is some work done on it. But look, I mean, there's been 5 or 6 accidents in the last number of months on this crossroads, and I've raised it with the Gardaí and I've raised the council level. It really, really needs some upgrading work, and a lot of the residents there are very upset. They come across accidents quite constantly there, and it's just not good enough. The site visibility is very, very poor. There is an issue in relation to maybe looking for land acquisition on it. That's a bigger project. But that brings me back to the project in relation to design within Kildare County Council. We really, really need to invest in our design teams in Kildare County Council, because so many projects are being held up, getting work done because of lack of design. And this is one of them. There is some work going to take place to try and make the crossroads better, but I will be tabling it for a design for next year.
All right, and no joy in and no plans to install a footpath from Castledermot to Colestown Cemetery?
No, at the moment there's no plans, but it is highlighted that we are doing a health check in Castledermot. There's other work going on in Castledermot. The focus is on Castledermot. We, as we unveiled, are opening the new playground. So this is actually a critical matter. I mean, you have people walking to and from funeral, going out that road with no footpath on it is highly dangerous. It needs to be addressed, and it is a long-term project that needs to be moved on.
But we have.
Can I just give you some good news?
I was going to say there before you give me that good news. We have good news, though, in regards to the square at Narramore.
We have, and look, can I commend the residents out there for the work that they've done, the Narramore Association, for the work they've done out there. I know you know Narramore well, and Mel's Pub and all the other hostels.
I beg your pardon, are you suggesting I'm in the pub often?
Well, if you are, you're not bringing me, that's all I can say. And Ciara's come too, and we take Owen as well. But look, it has come on so well over the last number of years because of the input of these people. We did carry out some work to it. Because of COVID, we got pulled away from it. I'm asking that we go back and finish the job. It's a small job that needs to be finished. And I'm asking, and hopefully by September, we will be back at that job. But my really good news is, in relation to Geraldine Road, which I had a motion and I've spoken to you a couple of times, it looks like that we may have sorted the storage orders out there. Some work has taken place on the pump station in Prestonstown Green, and it looks like we may have eradicated the odours.
Oh, so that's great. That's great news, because the pong around the town at times is terrible.
Absolutely.
Now, you asked the council finally, Aoife, to confirm, are there any plans to erect signage at the People's Park explaining and identifying the details of trees and planting in the park? And unfortunately, the council said no plans.
Yeah, it was a bit of a no, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what? No, look, I've spoken to Simon Wallace. We are investing in the park over the next number of years. We have assigned local property tax money for it. Simon is very open to the idea of looking at this whole plan as the naming of trees. And several other things that were highlighted to me by residents in Church Crescent, that they felt that would enhance the park, because they use it a lot. That's something I'm bringing to the table with Simon, and it's something we will be looking at for LPT funding for next year.
All right. The next time there's a smell around the thigh, you can blame the Cahirlach Aoife Breslin that she told me a lie.
I won't be Cahirlach for much longer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I know you're going to miss me, but look, thank you for all giving me the airtime as I was Cahirlach. But I do expect you'll give me airtime next year as well.
Well, we'll think about it. We'll try our best anyway.
I can start a petition.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, Jesus, Clem, you're certainly losing the plot these days between offending Ciara Plunkett several times this week, stating it was Ciara Noble in the newsroom, and throwing out misleading statements, which you're not learning to communicate. Thanks very much. Appreciate all that. Nice way to end the programme anyway. Joe Dolce's song, Shut Up In Your Face, prevented Ultravox Vienna from the number one spot. Is that why? Shut Up In Your Face. My God, in regards to that. My daughter gets married in August and needs a venue for the day after the wedding for 20 people, says Oliver. A Manus hotel is looking for €200 fee to reserve a small area and €18 a head for finger food. And Tommy Newbridge says, Clem, have to say, KFM, it's a great show, but to be honest, Lord, you have a voice like a goose exhaling air through the nether end, and putting it politely, in a fog. Okay, on that complimentary basis, thanks to producer Ciara Noble. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning. And now let's get this right. Let's go to the newsroom. And
thank you, Clem. Good morning.